This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, golfers. It's middle of February. It's not exactly golf weather. If you're in the southwestern Ontario area, you're probably digging out a little bit this morning. It's definitely not golf weather, although that's for us here. Weeks in the studio, guy who has been golfing, Zacchino, is down. I hope you're in your Speedo by the pool already by here at this 8 o'clock, are you? You were sending those pictures down. You were sending those pictures of you on the beach. I saw those, but...
I wouldn't do Speedo to anybody, my friend. I wouldn't be that cool. But, I got to tell you, from what I've seen from back home, I got lucky to get out of there this week. I know I've been on the road a lot. My travel schedule this spring is just going to be crazy and then calm down a bit come summer. But, man, if there was a week to miss, I think this might be the one. I can't believe some of the images and temperatures I'm seeing at home.
Yeah, it's actually winter. It's sort of middle of February, sort of what we should expect, I think. But the end is near. We're almost halfway through February here, so it's getting a little better. But there's a lot of people like you who have headed south, and we will hear about your wonderful trip down there to St. Kitts and some of the great golf they have down there in a little bit. Maybe after you answer that call.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that room service? Calling up your eggs, Benny? Is that what it is? Okay. We have a busy show today. We're going to talk a little bit about, of course, big news of the week with Mr. Woods deciding he's not going to play the next two events that he had on his schedule. We are going to give away a couple of tickets to the Toronto Golf and Travel Show a little bit later in the show program for those who... are in this area or who want, actually, you know, you could anywhere in the country, I guess you could come if you wanted to come to the Toronto Golf and Travel Show. Winners, Weird and What. We're going to talk to Adam Stanley. And Adam has been focusing a lot of recent days and months in the last year or so on the web.com tour. And there's a whole gaggle of Canadians playing there this year. They're underway now. After a couple of events in Bahamas, they're now down in South and Central America. So we'll catch up with Adam and discuss how those Canadians are doing and how we think we can get a few more maybe on the PGA Tour next year. But I want to start off, obviously, with Tiger Woods. And I guess the first question, Mark, is were you surprised that he's not going to play these two events?
Yeah, you know, Bob, I am, because I was believing what he's been talking about his back. He's been telling us he's been feeling good. Now, obviously, in Abu Dhabi, back spasms. But then what was the first language out of the Tiger camp after the back spasms? It was like, oh, this is encouraging, and it's unrelated to the nerve pain that he had from, you know, the last surgery and the rehabilitation. This is something different. You know, everything that came out of the camp when it was initially announced that he was withdrawing from Abu Dhabi pointed to him playing at the Genesis in next week in Los Angeles. And now I'm surprised because I believed it. And now what I'm thinking is, and you know, what I'm starting to feel is I don't believe anything coming out of their mouths. That I think this has nothing to do with his back at this point. I'm not suggesting that his back is 1,000% and feeling great, but I personally believe he could go. If this was an unrelated spasm and just, you know, his back reacting from, you know, probably not playing a lot of competitive golf lately, trust me, from someone who's lived with a horrible back, you know a lot of these guys, Bob, you've been out there forever talking to them. They all have bad backs. Jason Day's been playing with a bad back forever and a day, and he's a young man. I think there's something else going on here.
You know, it's hard to. I'm of almost of two minds, and I must say I've been pretty optimistic, and I've cut Tiger a lot of slack. That's starting, I think, with this one starting to kind of come back. Not so much that like you, that, you know, we don't know what's going on, but I think more to the fact that I think this is going to be the future. This is going to be what you get from Tiger for the rest of his career. He's going to be like Fred Couples. You are not going to know until he steps up onto the first tee and hits the shot whether he's going to be able to play. There's going to be a ton more withdrawals. There's going to be all sorts of, you know, frustration from Tiger. And on the other side, there's part of me that says, I wonder if he really is just trying to really be protective this time because he screwed it up so many times before by coming back way too early. He misses two events now. He can, maybe plays Bay Hill, gets himself into some kind of shape where he can play Augusta, because you know that's what he, that's where he wants to play. More than anything, more than Genesis, more than any of these other tournaments, he wants to be on the first tee at Augusta National. And so he's going to do everything he can to get himself ready for that tournament. But boy, the more, every time there's a withdrawal, every time he pulls out like this, I just sort of think, okay, your career is now, I'm more into the mind of, okay, his career is just going to be a kind of a fleeting image of what it once was.
And I'm starting to wonder too, how much more do we want to watch of this? It's almost become again like a sideshow, like it was when he was getting carted off every week and, you know, parking lot press conferences, and it's just hard to watch. And I would feel better about the description that you just gave. I would feel better about the Tiger future that you just laid out if, when we did see him, he shot 65 and he was, you know, and he was part of the golf tournament. I would take seeing him three times a year, you know, and not knowing when he's going to actually pick it up, like you suggested. But the fact that, you know, he shoots 77 and 75 and sometimes in the 80s, and it's just hard to watch and no one needs to see it. That's what, you know, that's what's even more frustrating. So he's going to, you know, he's going to pop up once in the blue moon and threaten to play golf and threaten to shoot 77, 75 and go home. And is that good for Tiger?
I can't see Tiger doing that. I think he would just get too frustrated with that to me. I think he only wants to play if he can play good, or if there's a hope that he can play good. But, you know, he's got a pretty big belief system right now. He really thinks he can still come back and all that, so we know that. Listen, I jumped the gun just quickly before we switch topics here. We should actually announce that this is News and Headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
We can't forget our friends, Mark, in Prince Edward Island. My homeland. okay, well, we could talk a little bit more about Tiger, and I'm sure we'll talk about Tiger all year long. Let's move on a little bit. How about the weather at Pebble Beach? It's usually like beautiful weather out there. I mean, never perfect, but boy, they've had a tough time getting the first two rounds in. They're still only halfway through the second round. Jordan Spieth, who has played two rounds, is leading, and we'll get to the scoreboard update out there. But it's got to be frustrating out there, and frustrating for us here watching it to try and see these guys playing on such beautiful property in such crappy weather.
Yeah, it's been a tough go, and, you know, sometimes this time of year in Northern California, it's amazing, Bob, to me how much the greens have held up, though, with this type of rain, because these are not the smoothest putting surfaces in the world to begin with out there, and the fact that they've held up the way they have, I'm absolutely shocked. But I'm going to touch on this a little later in my Winter's Weird and What, because the weather affected this tournament but gave us a real special golf hole in number seven there, which is already a spectacular golf hole. But Mother Nature makes that one play so differently. But I don't know. Jordan's due, isn't he, Bob? Is he not due a win soon? He's been playing well. He's steady, Eddie, but it's been a while since he's grabbed the winner's circle. Maybe this is the week.
Yeah, he's gearing up for it. Certainly don't look too far down the list. You can see Jason Day. He's only through 12 holes, and he's 9-under, 7-under round through the first 12 holes of the second round. So, I mean, there's a bunch of guys in here, and as we know, you know, you got to play three courses the first 3 days. So I always wait till they get through those. That rotation, so everyone gets a little bit of a somewhat of a fair shakeout, but certainly lots of golf to play. Hopefully, they don't have to go to a Monday finish on this one. An interesting story. Speaking about Spieth, was he lashed out this week at autograph professionals, as he called them, and these are people who go around to PGA Tour events, and I'm sure you've seen them, Mark. When players are great at signing stuff, you know they are. If you watch, they'll sign along the ropes, pro-am days or after rounds. They sign everything, hats, golf balls, you know, whatever people sort of put out in front of them. But there are a lot of people who go out and are professionals, try to get these autographs on cards or certain things and then try to sell them to make money. And Spieth knows these. I mean, all these players know them. I can remember doing a story on this way back, maybe 15 years ago, when Davis Love said, yeah, you see the same people every week at these tournament stops, these guys, and they have binders to go, try and get these people to give autographs. And Spieth said he just told these guys when he was signing for some kids the other day, he said, I'm not going to sign for you. And they lashed out and swore at him right in front of all these kids. And this is a real issue.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised that because it's been going on so long, like you've suggested, and you wrote about this a long time ago, like you said, I'm surprised that the tournament officials and the organizers haven't clamped down on this already, because they've clamped down on everything else. You know, you can't take footage. They've clamped down on people with social media footage and taking photos and videos and infringing upon rights holders and all these types of things. They're all over everything. But these guys somehow have been able to fly under the radar, so to speak. And it's really not even flying under the radar, because everybody knows they're there. But somehow, no one's really bothered or touched it. I don't know why that is. I don't know if maybe the powers that be have not deemed that there's enough money for them to kind of care about it enough or pay attention to it. I don't know, but I think it's wrong. I think it, you know,
yeah,
and I'm fine with Spieth lashing out at them. And, you know, he stood there forever and a day signing for the kids, right?
Right,
and
exactly. And these guys come up.
Should be.
Certain tournaments have set up like autograph zones where the only kids are allowed, which is great. But then sometimes these autograph guys give these kids $5 to go get stuff signed. It's like, I don't know how you get around it other than stop buying them on eBay and places like that where these guys sell all this stuff. It's not an easy one, and certainly the players want to sign for those who legitimately want an autograph, but we'll see. Here's a weird one. Now, you know Bernard Langer is one of our favorite guys. And Bernard Langer may be the only man on the face of the earth who has received an apology from Donald Trump. How about that? Have you heard this story? So Donald Trump was talking about voter fraud, and he used an example. He said that that Bernard Langer had relayed a story that he had gone in and witnessed some voter fraud, and Donald Trump used this story. Although it turned out that he, Langer, and Trump had never talked. And it was one of those telephone game scenarios where Langer told someone who told someone who told someone. Langer said it was six people down the line and somebody knew somebody else at the White House. And so this is where the story came from. And unfortunately, the new president used Longer's name. Anyway, he called him. He called him to apologize. He said he was really sorry if it upset him and if it caused him any issues. Boy, that's something rare these days with Mr. Trump, isn't it?
Well, it is. I find it amazing. Well, first of all, okay, I'm glad he called and apologized.
Yeah.
That's good. But I'm shocked he had the time, Bob. It's not like he doesn't have a little bit going on right now.
Well, you know, Mr. Trump is playing golf today with the Prime Minister of Japan. They're playing down at Mar-a-Lago. Yes. And so I think this is going to be a, whether you like him or hate him or whatever you think, I think this is going to be a very golfing president, I would think, although Mr. Obama had a few rounds in as well during his tenure.
I don't know,
tenure.
I'll take Trump probably in the end as the president with the most rounds. That's the way this thing's heading. So,
listen, has your breakfast arrived yet? Because we have to take a break, so I want to give you a chance to maybe have a few eggs Benny there before we get to the next segment. Is that okay?
Oh, we're all good. Yeah, we're
okay.
Good.
Okay. We'll take a break. There's lots more coming up ahead. Mark Sacchino, he is in St. Kitts. I am stuck here in the snow. We'll talk some more golf after this.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Weeks in studio in Toronto, Sacchino in St. Kitts. Here's your weather forecast for today. It is 27 degrees, mainly sunny currently, with showers coming up later this afternoon. It should go down to about a 25 degrees Celsius. Oh, sorry, that's the weather forecast for St. Kitts. I'm reading the wrong one here, Mark.
Well, Bob, if it makes you feel any better, I'm on my way home today.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yes, I am catching the 4 o'clock flight home. There is one direct flight, every Saturday down to this part of the world from Toronto. So I'm heading back to today only on Canadian soil, though, for about 48 hours, and I turn around and head to L.A. for the Genesis, where I thought we were going to see Tiger, but that's a whole other story.
So. Right. Well, before you leave down there, you've been down there for a week now, I know, because we were talking to you from the airport last week. Give me a little idea what it's like and what the golf climate is like down there. I know they've got a couple of courses, and they've got a couple of new ones that are underway being built, I think a Fazio and maybe an Ian Woosnam course or something, but give us an update on that.
Yeah, first of all, I've never been here before. It's an absolutely spectacular island, as well as Nevis, which is the neighboring island. It's about a 15-minute boat ride across to Nevis. So both islands work in conjunction with one another, and they're just stunning, like absolutely beautiful. They're mountainous islands, so it's not flat. It's just stunning to look at. There's not a bad view anywhere here, but I've been blown away. The people are outstanding. We're down here for the Admiral's Cup, which is a pro-am. This was their seventh annual Admiral's Cup pro-am. There's teams from all over the world playing, and I was here playing in that, as well as shooting some stuff, some footage for our upcoming TV season of Golf Talk Canada Television. So I've got a chance to really see a whole bunch of the island. The tournament itself was played on Royal St. Kitts Golf Club, which is a Thomas McBroom design. So we got a Canadian connection there. Great ocean holes. Bob, you'd love coming home on this golf course. 15, 16, 17, all running along the Atlantic Ocean feels it's just spectacular. The water just crashing against the rocks, and it's a great golf course. Lots of fun, very playable, but very beautiful as well. The other course we used in the tournament was the Four Seasons Golf Resort, which is actually over at Nevis, and that is a Robert Trent Jones Jr. golf course. Spectacular views, big elevation changes, very difficult golf course, but you know, your standard Four Seasons service and delivery, which is, you know, top notch all the way. And we've had a great time in both places. I've been staying down here at the Marriott. There's a Royal St. Kitts Hotel across the road that have all been a part of this Admiral's Cup. And now I played with a friend of yours.
Yes, I saw that. Jason Deegan.
Yeah, Jason Deegan from Golf Advisor. He asked me to say hello to you. I played on a media team with himself and James Mason out of the UK, along with Jamie Little, who was a European Tour player.
That's right.
And we backdoored a third place finish and got some great footage done, and it should be a great special. But they're really investing in golf down here. They've got the Ian Woosnam course is actually built. It's just not ready to go yet. It's called Catition Hill. And Bob, this place is off the charts. It's going to be spectacular when they get it open and ready to go. The resort's open, and we were up there visiting the resort. It's 5-star all the way. And if the golf course, I saw the golf course and the layout, and if it's anything like the resort, which we all expect it to be, it'll be absolutely spectacular. And the other one that you referred to is at a location called Christoph Harbor, which is a high-end marina yacht club that is adding a Tom Fazio golf course. And there'll be a Hyatt opening up in that region as well. So St. Kitts has decided that they are going to invest in the sport. They see golf as a way to attracting tourism and getting people to come play here. And why not with those types of names attached to a golf course? And it's perfect climate, too. It's not smoking hot. You've always got that breeze. It's like 88 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny with a nice breeze every day. So hard not to want to play golf.
Jason Deegan, who the aforementioned man that you just mentioned, I've been on a number of press trips with him over the years, and it's a race between him and Jamie Rydell to see who will be the last person ever to use a square-headed driver. I don't know if he still had it in the bag, but he used to have it forever after they'd long been disappeared. Jamie Rydell has a new driver, but he sometimes brings out the square-headed driver. And I'll tell you, Jason Deegan could hit it really well. So I don't know if he had the square driver out there, but I know he's traveled. That guy travels. You think you and I travel a lot? That guy travels probably twice what we do, but it's crazy. The one thing that's interesting about St. Kitts and Nevis to me, and the whole Caribbean really, is that I think a lot of Canadians kind of overlook it as a golf destination, as golf spots, and there's some great places in there. You know, it's so easy to default to Carolinas or or Florida or California or Palm Springs. But, I mean, there are some beautiful spots all through the Caribbean and some really tremendous golf and at good value, too.
Yeah, and you're right. But it's what we've been trained, right, Bob? It's, sure. It's what we've all been trained to do, and we get bombarded with that advertisement, and of course, for some people, they can even drive to some of those locations. So sure. We forget about the Caribbean. But you're right, and there is great value here, and there's other things to do as well. So it's a great place to come if you're looking for a guy's golf trip or you're looking to get away and play in a pro-am, et cetera. But it's also great if you know, I have Mrs. Golf Talk Canada with me this week. Heather, of course, tagging along, Bob. When I go to Silvis, Illinois for the John Deere Classic, I can't find her. She's nowhere to be found. But when we're coming to St. Kitts, all of a sudden she's available, right? And there's, you know, there's a reason for that. There's just stunning beaches and beautiful just mountains and lots of outdoor sports to do. And there's just so much to do here. The food's been fantastic, too. We've had some great meals. I got to get back on a diet. That is one thing I know for sure. And I tell you, you've got to look at St. Kitts and you've got to look outside the box and maybe consider some areas. So if you're out there and you're thinking about, you know, obviously they've come on board with Golf Talk Canada, and they're a sponsor of other Canadian golf outlets as well. Like, you know, they have a partnership with the Golf Association of Ontario. So St. Kitts has really realized that, you know, from a direct flight from Toronto down here, that Ontario and Canadians in general should be looking at St. Kitts as a golf option. And when they have all four courses going, it's really going to change how people feel about this area for golf. It'll really put it on the map when those other courses open. And I do have a news flash for you, Bob.
Okay.
Jason yep. has dropped the square driver and playing a new TaylorMade driver. So he has officially left the square driver category. So I don't know. I'll have to find out when he dropped it, and then we can match it up to Jamie and find out who was out first.
the end of an era. There it is. There it is. He hit it well, so why not, right? All right. Thank you for that, and lucky you. Although you're going to come back here to some a little bit maybe. Well, actually, probably won't have any shoveling. It's going up to like 4 or 5 today, so it's all going to melt. It's just going to be sloppy for you. But it is not. It's not St. Kitts weather. You're a lucky man to have that week down there. When we come back, though, we're going to talk to another lucky guy, Adam Stanley, who has been spending a lot of time covering the web.com tour. There is a gaggle of Canadians playing on that circuit this year. We're going to get an update from Adam on that and a few other things when we come back with Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Weeks in studio. Zucchino will rejoin us momentarily from St. Kitts in the Caribbean. Lovely, lovely little journey down there that he's had for the past week. Right now, though, we're joined on the phone by Adam Stanley, a noted golf writer, and spending a lot of time in the last year or so covering the web.com tour. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well. How are you? But not good. As good as Mark, I guess, down in St. Kitts.
Few of us are as good as Mark, yeah. I'll tell you, day in and day out. Listen, I want to talk about a whole bunch of things here with you, but off the top, I know you've spent a fair bit of time over the last year working with some of the people and covering web.com tour events, and the tour is up and running. They're into their third event this week after a couple of tough starts in the Bahamas. Holy smokes, talk about bad weather. That was something else. But I just wanted to start off by talking about the Canadian contingent, because we've got a good group of Canadians down there, some with more status than the others. I think I saw there's 31 different status categories on the web.com tour. So it's very complicated to try and figure out who's full-time and who's part-time. But essentially, if you play well, you kind of get more starts, which makes a lot of sense. But give me a rundown on the Canadians and what you see for 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, there are certainly a lot of categories that allow people to play on the web.com tour. I think we've got about 10 to 12 Canadians who are going to be out there basically full-time as the season plods along, the leader of which is got to be Corey Connors. Corey was the only player, period, to lock in two top 10 finishes to start the year in the first two events of the season. So he's playing very, very steady, not really surprising. The weather was, as you said, pretty ridiculous the first 2 weeks there. First week in the Bahamas, a couple guys were shooting in the 90s. It was unbelievable. But Corey's got a great head on his shoulders. He played very well on the PGA Tour Latino America last year. He's very comfortable with South America and the Caribbean climate, having lived now for the last little while in West Palm Beach, Florida. So to see him come out very strong was no surprise. And he's back. I think he's tied for 10th as the third round starts down in Colombia today. So he's back playing very, very steady golf. Would not be surprised to see him notch a victory at some point this year. Everyone else has kind of just started to get their season going. We haven't really seen very much success from the other guys. Roger Sloan, Alvin Choi, who changed equipment manufacturers this year, Adam Svensson. These are the usual names that you would see week in and week out. They haven't found much success so far, but you can chalk that up to a number of different factors. The weather being first and foremost, definitely, but also there is a long season. At some point during the summertime, I think the guys are playing 14 to 15 straight events, 14 to 15 straight weeks, I should say, which is pretty crazy for the web tour because it's not like the PGA Tour where, you know, there's the California swing, the Florida swing, the Texas swing, et cetera. These guys are bouncing all around America, Middle America, the Caribbean. They're coming back. So it's a long haul for them. But wouldn't be surprised to see some Canadian success this year, but definitely led by Corey Connors.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at the schedule. I mean, we talk about the LPGA Tour and how you wear out your passport playing that circuit. But, I mean, here this week they're in Bogota, Colombia. They go to Panama next week. Then they're in Louisiana. And then the one that strikes me very interesting is April 20th to 23rd, they're going to be in Indiana. That's going to be interesting weather if they get in there. They're back to Mexico, down to the Dominican Republic, up to South Carolina, and then they're kind of on the mainland for a lot. But they're still bouncing around from, you know, Utah and to, I don't know. It's just it's crazy. Like you said, you got to really have your head on and your travel arrangements done well. Now the other guy I wanted to ask you about was the guy who ripped it up on the Canadian Tour last year, or PGA Tour Canada. Excuse me, that's kind of dating myself. Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada. Was Dan McCarthy, who won four times, had a runner-up finish, and obviously led the money list and got his full exemption onto the web.com tour. And he started off not too badly either.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's another guy that's kind of used to that that windy weather, so he played pretty well the first 2 weeks of the year. And there was a lot of good expectations on Dan this year. I mean, he's a little bit older. It's not like it's his first kick at the can. Yes, he did win four times last year, but he's kind of early 30s, mid 30s. So he told me, you know what, this is just my path. A lot of guys think, or the golfing public think, okay, you know, the Justin Thomases, the Jordan Spieths, the Rory McIlroys, the early 20s guys, this is how it's supposed to be done. And he's just like, you know, it's not like that. This is how my career path has gone. And he's just very excited to finally get a crack at the web.com tour. He's never had full status on this tour. He played conditionally a couple years ago, but with four wins pretty much all across the country in Canada last year, definitely some good expectations on him. And he's just kind of taking it all in stride, certainly with his experience and you know, just the way that he plays. He plays very steadily. There's not really many faults in his game. I think he's going to have a nice year as well. Definitely one to watch, and he kind of got started on a good foot a couple weeks ago.
It's interesting when you look at the leaderboard at Pebble Beach this week, how many of the guys there have web.com tour experience, and you can go down the list. I mean, recent web.com. I mean, there's Derek Fathauer, who's tied for the lead. I can remember watching him in Halifax a couple of years ago when there was a web stop out in Nova Scotia. I mean, you can go to Joel Dahmen's down there, Damon's down there. You go down, there's I'm not going back way back to guys like Jason Day who played there, mm-hmm. but John Rahm had a cup of coffee, I think, down there. There's Tony Finau played in Canada. You know, there's just Trey Mullinax won last year on the Web Tour. So you go down and you see these guys, and that's really the path now, as you were saying about Dan McCarthy. But there's a lot more of those guys than there are the Jordan Spieth and the Justin Thomases.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you could keep going down that leaderboard just a little bit farther to the Canadians. I mean, Adam Hadwin won twice on the Web Tour a couple of years ago. Now he's been sort of a longtime PGA Tour member. And then, of course, there's Mackenzie Hughes, who won on the Web Tour last year, and I was there for that, which was definitely a nice experience for me, and obviously him too. And then he won in the PGA Tour in the fall. So it's definitely the way that things are going. I mean, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, the old style of Q School and why they took that away and what they're trying to do now with the new process, the new journey to get to the PGA Tour. But it's certainly preparing these guys really well to have one full season under their belt, playing against guys who have, you know, won on the PGA Tour before. There's guys who've won in college who are highly touted amateurs who are now on the Web.com Tour. So the level of golf down there is tremendous. You walk up and down that driving range, really, the guys and their swings and how they prepare is not much different than what it is on the PGA Tour. It's just a little bit of some breaks have to go their way, and certainly it's all mental as well. But you look at the leaderboard week in and week out, there's definitely a few guys who are always competing or who have competed well on the Web.com Tour who have now translated that success to the PGA Tour just last week as well. I mean, there was J.J. Spahn, who had a tremendous year in Canada a few years ago, finished third on the Web Tour money list last year, and now he's competing on the PGA Tour. So that's kind of the journey that a lot of these guys are taking nowadays.
I want to switch gears here a little bit. You have a piece that's in The Mirror. Look at you running around doing British papers. You're in the tabs over there in the Fleet Street stuff. And it's titled, Who is Tiger Woods? The champion who ignited golf for a new generation is grasping at a glimpse of past glory. And this really kind of looks into, you know, what the future of Tiger Woods is going to be. And that, as you point out in the lead, is really the biggest question mark right now. We have no idea who he is, what he's going to do, where he's going to play, how he's going to play, I don't know. What do you guess at for his future?
I mean, it's such a vexing question. You just look at what Tiger Woods is now, who Tiger Woods is now, and you just nobody has the answer. And honestly, I don't think he does either. I can't sort of look into his head and predict the future. But we were all so excited, certainly as a golf fan, to be like, oh wow, Tiger's been played 4 out of 5 weeks. That's awesome. Good to have him back. He's probably excited to be mixing it up with the guys who want him back as well. And then I think he only played 2.5 rounds or 3 rounds or whatever it is and withdrew from these two events upcoming. So he kind of fizzled out at this point, and we don't really know what's going to happen. So I think if Tiger announces that he's going to have another surgery or something, this is definitely the beginning of the end. If he can make it through this little stretch of whatever it is, be it back spasms or maybe something more with a pinched nerve or whatever it may be that is actually causing him to have to stay away from playing for so long, we're just not sure. I mean, the guys want him back out there, certainly. I'm sure Tiger wants to come back and play. Golf fans want to see him out there competing. But we just don't know what's happening with Tiger. But I think that's what's so fascinating as well. It's, will he come back and play at the Masters? Will he play before then? Will he play at all during the season? Is he hurt? Is he not hurt? How is he working out? How are these new clubs treating him? There's just so many questions with Tiger Woods. And not really many answers either.
I was just going to say the answers are equal to the questions that we're asking, the answers we're looking for. Anyway, it's certainly, I don't know, it's just tough to try and see where he, you know, when he's going to get fit, and to see if he is fit, how long will it take him to get some kind of a game, or is he going to be like Freddie Couples, or, you know, I mean, you almost in some ways can look and say, well, look what happened to Mike Weir when he got injured. He's been struggling to try and get some kind of a game, but he can't play because of the injuries, really, the way he wanted to. And in golf, they don't have a farewell for you. It's not like there's a video tribute on the scoreboard, and you kind of just sort of fade away more than anything. But I think that would be very tough for Tiger Woods. I just don't see him playing if he's not competitive. If he can't get out there and shoot some low numbers after a while, I don't know. On the other hand, I think it's going to be hard for him to walk away from the game. I don't see Tiger being a guy who can live comfortably without playing some sort of golf.
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly with that. And I think, you know, he's got this burning passion. And you probably know better than anyone that Mike Weir has that same passion. He works so hard at wanting to get better and wants to get back and he wants to play. And certainly Tiger's on a little bit of a different level than Mike, but he as well, I'm sure he wants to get back and he wants to play and he wants to mix it up, like you said. But it's going to be a weird couple of years over the next little while to see if he will ever come back and do it again. I don't think that it's reasonable to think that he's going to get back to that early 2000s Tiger Woods, where it was not just winning, it was domination. 12 shots at the Masters, 15 at the U.S. Open. But he wants to play again, obviously. And I think the guys on the tour, they want to play against him. They want to play with him. They want to see Tiger Woods at least compete for four rounds. But he just hasn't been able to do that quite yet. And we don't know when he'll do that, when he'll do that again.
Here's I'm going to leave you with this. The most unusual stat that I read this week is that Tiger Woods has won on the PGA Tour more recently than Phil Mickelson. How about that?
It's crazy.
Isn't that unusual? Adam, listen, thank you. We'll be watching for your stories and listening to you and have you back on the radio show in the not too distant future. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
When we come back, we'll take a look at the leaderboards and update you on the world of golf from near and far. There's more Golf Talk Canada coming up.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, and joined in the studio now by producer Adam Scully. It's we've moved it up, the Scully time, usually at the end of the show.
I'm but so now, honored.
But now we've got you here. Mark Zucchino is in St. Kitts. He'll join us momentarily in the next segment for Winners, Weird, and What. You don't want to miss that, of course. There is a little golf action going on around the world. First of all, though, Adam Scully had a little golf this week down in Florida.
Yeah, it was
How'd
great.
You
I, you know, I hit it okay. I might start putting left-handed now.
Did I couldn't. You try that?
I haven't actually. I was a left-handed hockey shot, but I'm a right-handed player, and I actually in my final round, my dad shot even par, so that sort of made me
wow.
feel.
Did you take some money out of your pocket, or
we weren't playing for money, just
Lucky
a lot of
you.
Personal pride. But I finished 8 shots worse than he did, but he made everything on the greens.
So. It could be like Jim Nelford. You know, Jim Nelford played right-handed but putted left-handed.
Really?
His career.
Well, I know a guy who carries two putters, a righty and a lefty.
Nota Begay did that for a while.
Wow.
He actually had one putter, but it was a double-sided, like an old bullseye. And he would putt on certain putts, he would putt left-handed, and certain putts, he would putt right-handed. True story.
You know, there are issues mentally when you have to carry two.
Yeah, that's right. No issues right now for Jordan Spieth. He seems to be firing on all cylinders. He is through two rounds at Pebble Beach, and he is at 10 under par, tied for the lead with Derek Fathauer. Fathauer has the unenviable task. I hate when this happens, when you you have to come back for one hole. Maybe not. Maybe it could be like a putt. I don't know. He's finished through 17 holes. He shot 8 under yesterday. He's playing at Pebble Beach. They play 3 different courses the first 3 days, and then they go down to Pebble. One shot back is Jason Day, who is at 7 under through 12 holes.
Yeah.
But that's pretty good.
He's definitely making some moves. And sorry, you mentioned Derek Fathauer having to play the one hole. I remember at the U.S. Open last year when Andrew Landry had to hit one putt.
That's right.
I believe it was on the Friday or Saturday morning. His caddy didn't even come. He brought his putter and a ball.
Well, I know a couple of years ago we were at Congressional for the U.S. Open, and Adam Hadwin had to play one hole, and he had to birdie it to make the cut, and it was a par 5, luckily, and he almost eagled it, actually. We had to come out to shoot that, of course, because he was a little Canadian, so we got up, and then we had like about 5 hours off. So I understand what these guys go through when
Absolutely.
They only have to have one shot. So anyway, Jason Day is through 7 holes, through 12 holes at 7 under for this round on Spyglass Hill. So he's looking pretty good. Top Canadian is Mackenzie Hughes. He has a couple of 70s through two rounds. He's 3 under par. And Nick Taylor is at 3 under as well. Hmm. I thought that. And then Adam Hadwin is 1 under. He has got one hole to play as
another
well.
One.
See, look, he just happens to him all the time. Brad Fritch, even par. I'm going down the list here again. Mike Weir was playing and actually pretty respectable, 74, 73. He finished up 2 rounds. He has got one more to play. Now there's obviously 3 rounds and then they will make the cut. And this is the Pro-Am format. David Hearn is at 4 over. He shot, he's only through 12 holes of his second round though. He's playing at Monterey Peninsula. So some golf to be played there. They'll see if they can get it in. I think the weather is supposed to be nice through the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, which is great to see, because watching those first 2 rounds on television, especially, you know, all the fog.
Yeah.
Like Jordan Spieth was talking about after his second round that they could barely see the pin on his final hole. Imagine playing through that. That would just be crazy.
Let's hear from Jordan Spieth now about his first 2 rounds.
Been feeling like I've been striking it well and been trying to do a lot of work with the putter, and we got some pure greens out here at Spy. And started to roll some putts in starting on our third hole of the day, number 12. So got in a nice rhythm. The hole started to look big towards the end, and very glad to finish with a nice 3.
Very glad to finish, period. I think most guys would love to be in the house. As we mentioned just before talking with Adam Stanley, the web.com tour is underway, and they are down in Colombia, Bogota, Colombia, at the Club Colombia Championship by Cervetrega.
Well done.
I just said it very quickly and probably not correctly. to a tie atop the leaderboard, Roberto Diaz of Mexico and Andrew Landry.
There he is again. He's everywhere.
Andrew Landry. Long-hitting Andrew Landry, both at 8 under par. There are 3 players at 6 under, including former PGA Tour player Alex Prue. Top Canadian, Corey Connors, is 4 under, and he was 4 under in his second round. So he's tied for 10th, very much in the thick of things. You have to go way down to see the next couple of guys. Ben Silverman is tied for 42nd, even par. Then you go down to Roger Sloan is at 2 over. Adam Svensson is at 2 over. And goes on from Ryan Yip is at 5 over, 77 on the opening round. Sometimes the weather here is a little bit, it changes quickly.
Yeah.
So if you get the wrong side of the draw, it can be tough. Justin Shin is a couple of 75s. He is 8 over and will not play on the weekend. Albin Choi probably getting used to those new clubs, and he always has a little bit of a neck issue as well. So not a good, he's 10 over through his, and Adam Cornelson actually had to withdraw. So tough one there. And then over in Europe, here's the guy we haven't heard from a while, Danny Willett, who has not won since he slipped on the green jacket. He's probably been celebrating. a couple of nice rounds going. He was 5 under today. He's through 3 rounds. He shot 66, 67, 67. He is at 16 under par. He has a 3-shot lead over David Lipsky of the U.S., Alexander Leve of France, and my favorite Austrian golfer, because he's the only one, Bernd Wiesberger. Not the only one I know. Bernd Wiesberger over in the Maybank Championship in Sahana, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Have you been there?
You know what? I have not been there yet. Not quite on the bucket list, but it's good to see Danny Willett play some good golf. He played a Tiger, at least in Tiger's first round last week in Dubai, of course, because he withdrew. But good to see him getting back on form. Obviously, he had a bit of a tumultuous maybe second half of the year, and at the Ryder Cup was certainly magnified with what happened there and everything with his brother and all that. But good to see him back playing some good golf.
It's interesting how the closer we get to Augusta, how some of these guys get their
games
going, right?
Yep.
The other interesting thing I noticed about this leaderboard on the European Tour is 3 French players in the top 10. And, you know, with the Ryder Cup coming to Paris 2 years' time, we have Alex Levy, Mike Lorenzo Vera, and then Gregory Havre. And I don't know Mike Lorenzo Vera. I know the other 2 guys. And have had some good chats with them. They're excellent players. It'd be interesting to see if we can get a French guy onto the European Ryder Cup team. It's going to be very competitive with guys like John Rahm now playing.
Yeah.
We'll see perhaps Paul Casey taking up membership in the European Tour. So.
And another Frenchman, Gregory Bordy.
Yes.
He's also, he played some good golf, and he'll be another to watch as well, for sure.
All right, I'm going to ask you about Tiger Woods and what your thoughts are on him coming back.
It's very unfortunate to see what he's going through, to have to withdraw with ongoing back spasms, which is a little crazy. I hope that either he just shuts it down for a while, or he can sort of, somehow heal. But it's hard not to believe that this might be the end of Tiger, and he's been through so much, but hopefully as a fan of the sport, he can come back and start playing some good golf.
It's going to be interesting when they record all of us saying this is the end of Tiger Woods and he comes back and wins some events sometime, right? All right, when we come back, Mark Sacchino will rejoin us from St. Kitts. We'll do a little bit of winners, weird and what. That's next on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, you lucky listeners in Toronto and Hamilton. You get the extra half hour, and that means you get a lot more of Mark Sacchino. He's calling in from beautiful St. Kitts. And Mark, has the weather changed, by the way? And did you finish breakfast?
You know what? I have no idea what that call was. The phone hasn't rang, Bob. It's like, you know, what, I just forgot there was even a phone in the room. That's how quiet it's been. And then, bang, as soon as we go on the air, you know? But it's another perfect day here. I'm sad to leave. I'm looking out the window right here at the Marriott and right on the beach, and the sun is out and it is blue sky. And I know, sir, what I'm coming home to. I know exactly what that looks and what that's going to feel like, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, you'll survive. You'll survive. It's only, listen, I figure we got about a month to go before we're sort of starting to think about golfing and getting things out there. You know, maybe 6 weeks, but it's not that long. It's only 54 days till the Masters. 54 days.
Yes, that's we're not very far. Downhill, right?
Exactly, exactly. Listen, it's time for the favorite part of the show. It's time for Winners, Weird, and What. And my friend, you have the tea.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Okay, Bob, we teased this off the top of the show. My winner this week is the par 3 7th at Pebble Beach. Now, it's one of the most photographed and famous holes in all the world of golf. It's 106 yards off the number downhill with that little tiny green sitting on the Monterey Peninsula. But this week, with the weather being as crazy as it was, with these gale force winds and a sideways rain, on Thursday, it was playing 111 yards. You can remember, you know, we're talking about the best players in the world here as part of this, you know, Pebble Beach, AT&T Pebble Beach here on the PGA Tour. Out of the best players in the world coming through a 111-yard par 3, there was only two shots inside 10 feet all day. Incredible. Only two shots from 111 yards. It yielded four birdies. That is all. Four birdies. And actually played over par, 3.14. And professionals were hitting anywhere between a 6-iron and a lob wedge. Bob, could you imagine what the wind must be doing for a PGA Tour professional to hit a 111-yard 6-iron?
You know, you bring up a good point, though. It's not only just the top players in the world. It's some of the biggest sandbaggers in the world, too, in that amateur. I mean, and you think they can't hit the green. It is mind-boggling. I saw some footage in the practice round of J.B. Holmes and Tony Finau trying to hit, and it was even worse. And J.B. Holmes hit 5-iron, flushed it, and just barely got there. It was crazy.
Unbelievable. Great hole on a beautiful day, and maybe even a better hole on a crazy day. My weird this week. Okay, here we go again with the Ryder Cup. You know, when do you start talking about the next Ryder Cup? The day after the Ryder Cup ends. It's unbelievable. The Ryder Cup news constantly. You know, we're still almost 2 years away from going to France in 2018. Jim Furyk is the captain. And what have they done? They retooled the point system and the pecking order of when the captain's picks come again. Now, the point system, okay, I really have no feeling about this, if it's good, if it's bad. They used to give 2 points for every $1,000 earned. in a major championship. Now they're giving 2 points to the winner for the of the major for every 1,000 earned, and a point and a half to everybody else who makes the cut. Okay, whatever. Some actuaries in a room figured this is a better method. Whatever it is, I'm fine with that. Where I have the problem is, they're dropping the Billy Horschel rule. They put this rule in a few years ago because Billy Horschel won the Tour Championship and didn't find himself on the Ryder Cup team. So they put in the Billy Horschel rule to give that captain that one last pick at the end of the Tour Championship, and they're getting rid of it, pointing the finger at passports. It might be too hard to get logistics and passports worked out. These are the best players in the world, Bob. You trying to tell me they don't have a passport?
They should. I don't know. Maybe they want them to go over and enjoy the little joie de vivre in Paris before they play. You know, they want a week on the Champs-Élysées and stuff, and maybe that's what they're going to do. Get a little team building.
Oh, man. And then by what this week? Diana Murphy, president of the USGA. She just gets reelected, Bob. What do you have to do to lose your job in the USGA? She calls Brittany Lang her woman's champion, Bethany Lang. We all know what happened at Oakmont with Dustin Johnson in the camera. Obviously there were suggestions and a lot of finger pointing that she liked the odd cocktail before an awards ceremony. What do you have to do to lose your gig in the USGA? If Diana Murphy can get reelected, anyone can get reelected.
It's quite a story out there. These people who are successful business people, and I don't know when something happens when they get into the, put that blazer on or something. Anyway, all right, I am on the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, my winner this week, Mark, is a top European Tour player, Bernd Wiesberger. Do you know Bernd Wiesberger?
Yes, I do. Underrated player. Wow, what a run he put together.
He's ranked 38th in the world, and he set a European Tour record on Friday by making 9 straight birdies and shooting 63. How about that? He birdied every hole from 7 to 15. And the big coincidence about that is the fact that last night for dinner, I had some Bernd Wiesberger as well. It was really good. But Bernd Wiesberger is a really good player, very underrated. But in terms of Austrian golfers, he's 38th in the world. The next best Austrian is 868th. So he's kind of a lone wolf out there for sure. My weird this week is, this is a strange story from the International Golf Federation. A Swiss golfer was retroactively disqualified from the World Team Amateur Championship, which took place like last October, for eating rotten meat. Matthias Eggenberger from Switzerland was DQ'd retroactively for testing positive for something called clenbuterol, which is it's used in animal breeding. It's also used to lose weight and build muscle by cheaters. But this guy got it because he ate beef when he was in Mexico for the tournament. Now, the IGF had advised players to watch what they ate, and they gave him a list of restaurants where they could go, where they could feel pretty safe that they wouldn't get this stuff in their system. But he did. But the crazy thing is, I mean, Switzerland finished 16th. This guy finished tied for 39th. Does it really matter either one way or the other?
I caught that story, Bob. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous that they're spending their time on this. And the fact that the guy follows their lead, eats at the restaurants they tell him to eat, and then he still gets dinged for this stuff. I'm with you on this one.
It's a very strange one. All right. And my what this week was a really interesting article that came out from Golf Digest. And they basically tested the average driver distance hit by players in certain categories. Now, you and I know, Mark, that when we go out and play with guys, they hit a great drive and they say, oh, I hit that 250 or 260 or 270, right? So here's the average distance for the handicaps. A guy who is in the 10 to 19 handicap, or a player, shouldn't say guy, player in the 10 to 19 handicap averages. What do you think they average? Take a guess.
He's 10 to 19, 210 yards.
Yeah, 215. But how many guys do you know, how many 10 handicappers do you know say, oh, I hit it 250 or 260 all the time, right?
All of them.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing how much we overestimate exactly how far we hit the ball. And this is a cool article that's up on golfdigest.com. I'll maybe tweet it out a little bit later. The top category, which is players who are 5 or less handicap, basically average 250 off the tee. So you can see how far these pros are hitting it, how much farther these guys are averaging. absolutely drilling it. And to me, it just kind of shows you how good they really are.
Half a football field past the average five handicap. Think about that, Bob. That's insane.
Well, you hit it a long way, and I think you hit it further than 250, I would say. But anyway,
we also know that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer either. So, you know, God had to give me some ability somewhere along the way, right?
So. I guess. All right. Listen, we got 54 days left to the Masters. The odds are coming in. We've only got a minute here. But if you were to place a bet right now, who would you say is going to win the Masters?
I don't want to leave my Rory bet because that's who I picked, but I don't know if he's going to be healthy. So because of that, I'll go through the guy I was going to go to next, which was Jordan Spieth.
You think, yeah, he seems to be rounding into form, doesn't he? And that putter seems to be working, which I love. When he's putting well, when he's got that distance control, man, he's going to be tough to beat.
Rory was trending in the right direction, Bob, and it looks like things were going just, you know, tickety-boo for him to peak at the right time, and then he gets hurt, and now we don't know. And why, you know, Rory's off healing, Jordan seems to be, like you say, rounding into form. If he can keep the putter going, you know, sometimes he can just win a golf tournament just by out-putting everyone else. We've seen that before.
Exactly. Oh, listen, have a safe journey back later today. We will talk to you from Los Angeles next week, I think. Are we talking to you next week?
No, for sure.
You're going to get up early?
I'll talk to you from LA, and I'll talk to you during the week when I'm down there.
Oh, man, that's very nice of you. All right. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk to, you're going to talk to, actually, Nick Starchuk. You had a conversation with him, Mississauga Golf Club's Director of Teaching and Instruction, about his appearance at the Toronto Golf and Travel Show. And we'll also give away a couple of passes, so stay tuned. And we'll be back after this with a little bit of a look into the Toronto Golf and Travel Show. Thanks, Mark.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Center in Mississauga. For show information, event features, or to purchase tickets, visit torontogolfshow.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
And here's your chance to win a couple of tickets to that Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24 to 26, 2017 at the International Center. Here's the phone number, 416-870-1050. Tell us who's the top Canadian so far on the web.com tour event. Who's the top Canadian so far on the web.com tour event? You can win a couple of ducats to go and see the Golf and Travel Show, 416-870-1050. Now, speaking of that, Mark had a chance to chat with really one of the top instructors, certainly in this area, probably in the country, who's going to be showing his wares at the Golf and Travel Show. Here's Mark with Nick Starchuk.
Joining me now, one of the guest speakers at the main stage at the Toronto Golf Show, February 24th to 26th. He's a PGA Tour of Canada Coach of the Year, Teacher of the Year. He works and teaches as the golf instructor out of Mississauga Golf and Country Club, and one of the finer Canadian teachers we have in the country and around the world. Nick Starchuk joins us now. You can follow him at nickstarchuk.com. At Nick Starchuk. Nick, thanks for doing this with me. You've got an interesting topic, Agent 125. Some interesting numbers here, and I follow you on Twitter, and you have some pretty interesting tweets about just the way that the average golfer looks at getting better, and, you know, everybody in love with the driver. I've read a few things you've thrown out there like that, but tell us a little bit about Agent 125 and what we'll be discussing at the Toronto Golf Show.
Oh, thanks very much for having me on. Agent 125 is kind of an idea where if you look at the guy who's 125th on the money list every year, well, he gets to keep his cards for the following year. So if you take that same approach to the stats categories and you look at the stats of the player who's 125th, that can give you maybe a bit of a different idea of what tour pros actually do. Because I think there's a conception out there, or a misconception out there, that pros hit it to 2 or 3 feet all the time, but they kind of do when you watch them on Sunday afternoon. But I think that if they started to show what players were doing on Thursday and Friday who missed the cut, you know, your average golfer from 150 yards out in the rough is going to think that maybe I just need to get this on the green instead of, well, Dustin Johnson got it to 2 feet, so, I mean, I should get it to 5.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because obviously what people see on TV are the highlights. They're not showing you a guy that's 3 over par missing greens, like you mentioned. And they also don't show you how good these players are inside 100 yards and the fact that they're getting up and down all the time for missing greens. And, you know, you tweet a lot about wedge play and things like that. And, you know, everybody's out there screaming and looking for more yardage, but it's not necessarily the guy hitting it the furthest that is getting his scores down.
That's right. It's, you know, the guy that's missing it in the right spots, or, you know, the guy who's made his strengths that, well, 175 to 225 on tour is a really good window of defining a ball striker. And there's a big correlation to that distance and, you know, how they perform week in and week out. So I think that if the average golfer could take a look at the stats in a little bit of a less best in the world view and average person on the PGA Tour, I think they can just change their expectation, like I said, and maybe change the way they practice or change how hard they are on themselves, and maybe something different can show up.
Well, with Nick Starchuk, he'll be speaking on the main stage at the Toronto Golf Show February 24th to 26th. Nick, so how do we relate this then to a student or the average player? Do you get your students to buckle down and take stats and figure out how they're performing from these categories that you have your eye on, and then do you build a program around that?
Well, I think that if most of my students, if they're really into something in the golf swing, there's a billion hours of YouTube videos that they can watch. But what they don't have is someone that walks around the golf course with them. So I'm pretty fortunate to be able to do that at Mississauga Golf and Country Club. And being able to, you know, be in the rough with one of the players and show them where the pin is and say, hey, you know, your chances of hitting it to this far is this, but, you know, if you get it on the green, like, this is pretty good from here. And I think that, you know, not necessarily getting my players to know what the stats are, but me kind of highlighting them in a certain circumstance just gives them a little eye-opener and it takes some weight off their shoulders.
What's the biggest misconception then you would see from people coming in, other than, you know, they think they obviously everybody hits it to 2 feet all the time? Do they come to you saying, you know, what's holding me back is I don't hit it far enough? Or what do you typically get from people? That's typically what I hear, Nick, and that's the reason why I'm asking the question. I play a lot of golf with mid to high handicappers. They all think don't hit it far enough to play better. And I said to them, that's actually not where you're losing shots. You're losing shots because when you do make mistakes, you try to get too much out of your game and you're not good enough around the greens. You don't give yourself, when you miss greens, you don't give yourself an opportunity to still make a par or even limit mistakes.
Definitely. I think that there's a lot of people out there that, first of all, they do think they need to hit it farther. You know, I've worked with one of Canada's best club pros who plays in all kinds of tournaments, and all he's ever wanted to do was hit it farther, and he already carries it 295, you know. So maybe a little bit of info on the stats and say, hey, this is what the average tour player is doing, but this is where if you hit it 10 yards farther, you're not going to save any shots. It's less, and most players want to kind of work on somewhat that what they think is a big link or a big missing link to their game, whether it's distance or whether they're not hitting their irons close enough. But nobody takes a good opportunity, a good chance of working on their putting, you know, getting out there and understanding that, hey, you had 38 putts today and you could have had 32 pretty easily. You know, I think that's a bit more of an eye opener for them. It's not necessarily a to-do lesson. It's a, hey, you had 38 putts. You probably should have only had 32. If we work on this, that's 6 shots. Can you save 6 shots hitting it 20 yards farther? No. So, you know, that's how we can kind of get the scores down and the mistakes down so fast.
Makes a ton of sense if you can find a student willing to listen, for sure. And hopefully we've reached a lot of them today. And hopefully you'll speak to a lot of them over the golf show weekend, February 24th to 26th at the International Center in Mississauga. Nick, before we let you go, other than the golf show, what's up for Nick Starchuk this year in 2017? You'll be back at Mississauga as the Director of Teaching and Instruction. What else is on your plate for 2017?
Growing the junior program, keeping the players competitive. We had a lot of wins last year in the academy, so trying to keep things going and trying to get a bigger percentage of our members taking lessons. We have about 30% of our members take lessons. It's increasing every year, so it's going to be, you know, meeting the demand of the club. So I'm excited for a busy and fast summer.
Well, it's a fantastic golf club. You guys do great work. If you want to get a hold of Nick, you can follow him on Twitter. At Nick Starchuk, You could also get a hold of him, Nick, at nicksarchatgolf.com. And, of course, you could also go to Mississauga Country Club and get a hold of Nick on his contact page there at Mississauga Golf and Country Club. Nick, thanks for taking time to do this, and enjoy the golf show.
Terrific. Thanks very much. I look forward to it.
That is Nick Starchuk with Mark Zucchino, and that is all the time we have for this week on Golf Talk Canada. Join us 1 week from today. We'll be back with lots more. Don't forget Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th. Rob White was the winner of the tickets, and we'll have another pair to give away next week. That's it. See you next time on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Centre in Mississauga. For show information, event features, or to purchase tickets, visit torontogolfshow.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.